Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, is hitting the road this summer from May 31st through June 14th. We're doing part two of our U.S. live tour.
Whoa. I came up with a name for this one.
Yeah,
it's
called
the Areas Tour.
Kind of
similar.
Dungeons and Daddies, the Areas Tour, feat Taylor Swift. We're hitting the road again. Midwest and East Coast dates on sale. Tickets are available now. We're starting up in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Pelham, Tennessee, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, and Boston.
Wow.
More info on our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com/live.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
By the way, for West Coast folks, we've added one show to the Dungeons and Daddies tour. We're going to be playing Los Angeles at the Wiltern on Father's Day, June 16th. Tickets available at dungeonsanddaddies.com. Very exciting. It's a big, famous venue. Hope to see you there.
Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, season three.
Bum, 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 bum. Third time, so still not a BDSM podcast.
Still not a BDSM podcast. Wait for number four, and we would like to present to you all the Peachyville Horror, a Call of Cthulhu actual play horror comedy podcast about four everyday schmoes fighting the forces of darkness in suburban 1950s America. This season is helmed by none other than William Smith. Will Campos.
Will Smith?
Will Campos. Sorry,
Bill
I got into
Smith
a,
is here.
I got into a whole thing.
Wait, Will Campos from Dungeons and Daddies?
What?
That's right. Will Campos
wow.
from Dungeons
podcast.
And Daddies. Let's welcome to the podcast, Will Campos from Dungeons and Daddies.
Wow. Woo! Okay, so Anthony and Will, have you done your good luck transfer smooch?
Yeah, we touched our dicks.
Okay. Yo.
Smooshed them into
each
other.
Is that what smooching means?
Yes, that's what smooching means.
We docked.
We docked a little bit.
Oh, docked. Okay. Yeah. I get that.
Well, you smooch first and then you dock.
And you got to make lightsaber noises, like when they lock up.
Yeah.
They do spaceship sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My name is Freddie Wong. My name is Freddie Wong. I play, and I know
that
everyone.
My wife?
Oh, are we going to introduce ourselves even before we introduce the world?
Yeah, we're doing our normal thing.
Oh, right. Okay. I don't know. I'm just, this is so exciting. I just don't know. I'm just, okay.
Yeah, let's go for it.
The world has been waiting with bated breath as to what the next Freddie Wong character will be, and I'm pleased to report the smoke is coming out of the smokestacks, and we can announce
the white smoke.
The white smoke has finally appeared as thousands around the world wait for my new character. I would like to introduce all of you in this room and you at listening at home to the newest Freddie Wong character, Toni Collette.
Love it.
A fast-talking used car salesman with a heart of gold. I'm coming up with that as we go.
Throwing out weeks of prep over here to accommodate this new heart of gold this character has.
I feel like Freddie planned the intro about his character and then just
Matt,
is winging
I'm
going
to need you to shut the fuck up. This week's peachy fact about Toni Collette. Toni spelled T-O-N-Y, by the way. Call of Cthulhu, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is a system where you have a lot more like specific skills that you can have. And we'll get into the sort of way the system differs from D&D in a second. But I would just want to point out that when you're making your character sheet, you can add like skills that you add points to. Most of the time you start with 1% skill. Mm-hmm. Under theoretical physics and relativity, Toni Collette has a 2.
Interesting.
Because Toni Collette once attended a scientific lecture given by none other than a Mr. Einstein.
Wow.
And he left it being like, I think I understand relativity a little more. And he did, but not much. That's why there's
space
a 2.
Space is curved like the beautiful hubcap of a 1957 Chevy.
Exactly, exactly.
Hey, everybody. My name is Matthew Arnold. And for this wonderful season, this Peachyville season, I am playing Kelsey Grammer. I'm Peachyville's happiest and snappiest school marm. Just kidding. I'm here to help because your kids are the future and I'm going to be there.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. A little fact. Little fact. You see, I planned that one. I wrote it down. I did my
work. Happiest and snappiest.
Snappiest. The first Peachyville fact for Kelsey is that, look, she loves to teach. She kind of teaches the group of like kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. She's got a lot of kids under her belt. And her big goal in life, what she's trying to do is that she's not really happy with Encyclopedia Britannica. She finds it very dull and kind of British-centric. And the world book is frankly just not available at Peachyville, despite her desire to get it there. So she's decided to embark on her own encyclopedia that she's writing to make it accessible and fun for children. And right now she is just on the letter B. She's been doing it for about 7 years.
Wow.
So she's got to speed up if she's going to make it before she dies. But she's on B. The kids know a lot about letters A to B. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a good chunk of knowledge.
Now, has she had to go back into A to do new developments in A, like, I don't know, atomic energy?
The atomic bomb had, she
big
has...
big unit on that one.
She's just like, bomb, comma, atomic. There.
There's been some shortcuts here and there. One reason it takes so long is just she's very hands-on. Mm-hmm. So, like, she doesn't write something down unless she's experienced it and done it and learned it herself. So
interesting.
And that's, yeah.
So
can't wait till we get to S, you know what I mean? Wink, wink. That's sex.
Oh. Yeah.
She's waiting until
finally,
her encyclopedia. She's not waiting until marriage. She's waiting until she gets
I'm
the encyclopedia.
I'm saving myself for S.
Normally. We're all staring at Anthony, just daggers.
Oh, should it be me? Okay.
Well, that's when Will was. You've taken his spot.
Okay. I'm Anthony
Birch. The party's not even cold yet.
Will never used to pause before he went.
I'm Anthony Birch, a player for the first time.
Yay!
My job will be to play a character and wish that Will is not as good as I am. That'll be my full-time job. I am playing Francis Farnsworth, the most bullied kid in Peachyville. And his Peachyville fact is his favorite root beer float flavor is strawberry because he is a soda jerk, and that's what he recommends is a scoop of strawberry ice cream. And his least favorite is saliva because Shane, the local football player, made him drink a smoothie made out of saliva and ice cream after a nice bullying session after school.
You got a hand to Shane, though. He was saving that up for weeks.
Your body makes about 6 cups of saliva a day.
That's
so if he was
wild.
Really dedicated, you could have just made that work, you know?
I'm over here like a mastiff, just salivating at my chance to go. Okay. Hi, my name's Beth May, and I play Trudy Trout, doting wife, homemaker, and mother of 2.5 beautiful children. Fun fact, Peachyville fact about Trudy, she makes pancakes perfect every time.
Wow. No dog waffle for her.
Nope.
Just quick pause because I already fucked up. I already fucked up this whole season. Now, Anthony, what grade are you in?
I'm 16. I'm in 10th grade.
Okay, now you're in high school.
Yes.
Okay, never mind. We won't do that. I'm your teacher then.
Well, never mind. I'm like, I'm younger then.
No. I could also be that I was your teacher at one point. That's actually better.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
I'm like, yeah. You were such a good student. What happened to you? You used to do the bullying.
Hello, everyone. My name is Will Campos, and I'm your daddy-o master. Could that be it?
Hey.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I feel like everyone then responds to you with, hey.
Guys, let's sexualize and objectify Will just like we did Anthony. What's up, daddy-o? You look good today.
Hey, daddy.
Damn, look at those jeans.
Daddy-o, those jeans.
Dude, it's all looking tight from head to toe. You're my big papa.
Thank you, Matt.
Will's rocking his denim.
My denim on denim look, the Canadian tuxedo.
I've always wanted a new dad, and I got one.
My peachy fact today is that your body is home to millions of foreign bacterial species. According to new research, your mouth has more bacteria living in it than there are human beings on Earth. In fact, there are more foreign cells or bacteria and fungi in your colon than human cells in your whole body.
Wow.
So it does. It really takes a village, everybody. That might
Kelsey's
come up or not.
Kelsey's pretending to be interested, but she already learned bacteria because it's a bee.
It was a
so
BA,
she knew all
yeah,
that. Yeah. So she's like, oh, yeah.
I've already experienced all bacteria. I know all I need to know about it. So we are playing Call of Cthulhu, which is a classic of the TTRPG.
A classic
Pantheon,
for us as well.
And a classic for us as well. This is the same system we used in Mountains of Dadness, which some of you may have listened to. This is a horror-based game. Dungeons & Dragons is much more about combat and, you know, spells and stuff like that. I mean, not the way we play it, but, you know, this is a game that's all about investigating and discovering super spooky things that go bump in the night. The way that the dice rolling works in this game is a little different from D&D. Instead of it being a D20 system, this is a D100 system. So most of the time when you're trying to do something, you've got points that are put into various skills, and that is your percentage out of 100. And what your goal when you roll is that you're trying to roll under that percentage. So the higher your number, the better your chances are of success. But if you roll above your number, you will fail your roll.
So it's like the golf of TTRPGs. You want a low number when you roll.
It's
just as terrifying and non-Euclidean and scary knuckle. As golf. That's right.
So, for example, I have here electrical repair is at 40. If I want to succeed in electrical repair.
So, yes, if your three-channel television breaks down right in the middle of I Love Lucy and you want to see what happens and if Lucy's going to get that trophy off of her head or not, you would roll electrical repair and your goal would be to roll under a 40.
Got it.
And we can explain the rest of the rules as they come along. There's some other little bits and bobs and razzle dazzle that we will explain as we keep moving.
But low number is good.
Low good.
Natural
high
one
bad.
In this case, the best.
Yes, actually, that's a critical
natural
success.
Natural 100?
Very
you're
bad.
Fucked. You die screwed. Instantly, I think.
And you die in real life.
Die in real life.
Nice.
The year is 1950XX. The town is Peachyville, Nebraska. Just another hunky-dory nifty-50s small town on the rise in post-war America. Everything in Peachyville is just peachy. The lawns are green. The fences are picketed. The skirts are poodled. And the cars are big and long and thick and powerful as the American dream itself.
I like the sound of that.
Looking around this peachy community, it's hard to believe that 10 years ago it was nothing but a blighted stretch of abandoned farmland. Until eccentric real estate mogul Jimmy J. Stubb looked out upon it and had a vision. A vision of a thriving, integrated suburb where any man of any color or creed could put his family in a home, his car in a garage, and his wife in a kitchen. And so, life in Peachyville has gone peacefully and peachily on for more than a decade. But tonight, it's all about to change. For strange things, ancient things, slumber in the shadows of Peachyville. And foul deeds, even fouler than heavy petting and beat poetry, are afoot to awaken them. But fuck all that, it's time to bowl, baby!
Yeah!
At the Peachyville Lanes, the bi-monthly Bowlerama Bowling Bowl has reached its climactic final frame. Seven-time winners, the True Bowlievers, sponsored by the Peachyville Brotherhood of Bisons, have racked up another impressive score and seem poised to clench the trophy. The only thing standing in their way is a ragtag collection of late entrants thrown together into a team that somehow hung in there all the way to the final roll of this match. So, first question, you guys are on a bowling team, what's your bowling team name?
Ooh. I like guttural scream.
So the team members of guttural scream watch with bated breath as Francis Farnsworth steps up to take his last roll. He needs a 9 or a 10 to make this last strike and win this trophy. How's Francis feeling right now?
So Francis is feeling about as nervous can be because Francis desperately wants to be looked at as anything other than a loser, anything other than the complete dweeb that he has been marked as since high school began. And if he can just get a 9 or a 10, then maybe he'll be one step closer to getting the respect in the eyes of generally everybody in Peachyville, but most importantly, the girl he has a crush on, Carly, who he joined the bowling team in the first place to have something to do with her.
Where does Carly work?
Work? Where's Carly work?
Where is Carly? Is she in the room? Is she watching?
Is Carly in the room with us now?
I think so.
Yeah, no, Carly's here. Yeah,
she in Canada? Is she over in Canada?
She's sipping a malt. There's a second straw in it. Who's that second straw going to be for? Who knows?
Wow.
Shane is here,
her,
too.
She's doubling it. She's
like, yeah, she's like, am I going to have to double straw another malt
woman.
Tonight?
The perfect woman.
But she's casting a glance over your way because, again, this is the climactic final frame of the match.
From the sitting area, Toni Collette's going to offer, Francis!
What?
You stand up a little bit straighter. Stick your finger in the holes.
Okay.
Deeper into the holes. You got to make sure you really huck it.
But I'm already up to the knuckle.
You keep going. Second knuckle.
The hole. Well, my finger's stuck now. It's not going to come off.
Well, Francis, you've always been such a good at sports. Just do your best. Hey, look at me.
What?
When I taught you in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, and fourth grade, and let's be honest, you got held back, so fifth grade too. You always, when you put your mind to something, you could do it.
I got held back just because I wanted to stay with you longer.
I know. I am everyone's favorite teacher. It's a curse I got to bear, but give it a shot.
All right, here we go.
Francis, if you send this one home, I got a special discount for you at the lot for maybe you and your beau later. So add that to your list of pressures.
Francis, the ball is round and you can roll it.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Trout.
Kelsey writes that in her notebook. Round.
Round, interesting. So here's how I thought we would do this. This all was inspired by me realizing that, like, hey, the D10 has 10 sides and there's 10 pins in the thing. So what I'm thinking is Anthony's going to roll a D10.
Uh-huh. At these 10 bowling pins.
At these 10 bowling pins. Francis needs a 9 or a 10 to knock down 10 pins. What I was thinking is you guys could each make a skill check to inspire Francis. And then he will get one more dice to roll, and then that gives him a bigger chance of getting a 9 or a 10.
Okay.
But if you fuck up and do a shitty job, then he'll be demoralized and you won't get a chance to do it.
Do we get a choice of what we're rolling for here?
Sure, absolutely.
Because I feel like by negging him subtly and enticing him with a rental car that he'll be able to smooch his missus in, That's a psychology role for me, I think.
Okay.
You know, because I'm using the mind of the teenager, something that Tony's quite familiar with, seeing as he sells and rents most of his cars to teenagers in the town.
Was it also psychology when you were telling him to finger blast the bowling ball by getting his fingers in there deeper?
Well, exactly, exactly. I'm trying to awaken his inner masculinity.
Well, that's just what I need is a boner right now.
Can I roll persuade then?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
So I'm going to roll for psychology, which I have as a 50. I rolled a 92.
Very bad.
Yeah, you're trying to roll below.
Oh, that's
below
bad. That's
number.
Right. Yes, Call of Cthulhu, you're trying to roll under your score, and you got a 92.
And I got a 92.
Can I roll persuade then?
Yes, you can.
Which I have a 55 because I'm a good teacher, mm-hmm. and I got a 45, so ooh, success.
You two have canceled each other out.
Nice.
I come rolled on, charm. And I got a 2.
Wow, that's yes. an extreme success.
Tree is charming.
So if you roll 1/5 or lower under your skill level, that's an extreme success. What is your skill level?
55.
So yeah.
And you got a 2? So that's a critical success. Wow. Which I think means Anthony gets an extra dice because it was a critical success.
Oh my God.
So I get 3 dice?
So now you're at 3 dice.
Okay,
3 dice.
Trudy says, the ball is round and... If I didn't already have 2.5 children, I'd be happy to welcome you into my home.
Whoa.
Francis, while trying to puzzle over what the ball is round means, does actually get a little bit of inspiration from the idea that Trudy would take him in as a child because his parents aren't overly fond of him. And the idea of having a mom who loved him and can comment on whether things are round or not is appealing to him.
Yes, you'd have a mother who loves you. I can't say the same about your father because Tucker is awful strict.
Okay, so Anthony, right as you go up to roll, one more hand lands on your shoulder, and it's the 12-year-old hand of Britannica Blue, girl detective. She's a local celebrity, and she's got a bit of moxie to her, a bit of sass to her, her hair is in a ponytail with a bright big bow. She says, Francis!
BB!
Yes, that's that's me, BB, Britannica. I just want you to know that we're all counting on you, and in the words of John Stuart Mill... A man who has nothing to fight
for. The Daily Show guy?
No, the founder of liberal thought and one of the molding men of the Enlightenment era for which this country, our beautiful country, the United States of America, was created. He once said that a man who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself. Do you have something to fight for, Francis?
Francis very quickly takes a glance at Carly and then looks away before she can notice him looking at her. And he goes, yeah.
Then roll, goddammit. And she kicks you in the leg.
You said goddammit, the worst curse anyone can say in 1950.
The hush falls over the ground. Did you hear that? Did you hear? Well, but the detective, though, the kid detective gets away with it.
She got a 47 on her history roll to pull that John Stuart Mill quote, and she has a 50 in history. I don't need to tell any of you this.
No.
She
yeah,
did
dude,
a good job.
This yeah. is privilege information.
All
this,
right.
You now have
the
DM
powers.
Privilege.
Is there anything you want to say to yourself to inspire yourself?
I go, okay, Francis, you can do this probably for the first time in your life, I guess.
You look at his scorecard, and yeah, he has done nothing but gutter balls his
yes,
entire
Yes, it's been
time.
0-0. It's straight gutter balls, and then he's got one chance.
Statistically, it's going to be different, right? Like, my time's got to be coming.
What skill is Francis using to inspire himself right now?
That'd probably be psychology.
Psychology makes sense.
So I got a 29, which beats my psychology score of 80.
Oh, okay. So yeah, give me 5 D10s, and tell me if you get a 9 or a 10. This is the very last frame of the match.
I got a 2... A 5, a 10, a 10, and a 9.
Oh!
Oh, wow!
All right.
Okay. If I didn't have a boner before.
Describe this throw to me, and then I'm going to ask you guys for something.
So, Francis, for the first time all night, instead of getting up really close to the lane and, like, using both hands to sort of push it forward very slowly, tries to do a full run-up and, you know, use one hand kind of motion. But the ball sticks in his hands. And it flings him forward and he knocks his chin on the lane. But the jostling of his chin and hand hitting the floor manages to make the ball jostle loose and it goes down. And while Francis is bleeding from his mouth, the ball does end up getting a strike.
In this wild karaming motion, like it's imparted like side spin to it. So it's like a perfect curve.
Yeah, shot. That like yeah. twist. It's got, yeah, just a beautiful throw, a real who do you think you are, I am kind of throw. A And why don't you guys all give me a spot hidden? It's your sort of go-to skill for a lot of stuff in this game. It's kind of a passive perception.
76, but I needed a 25, so I failed. Toni Collette was knee-deep in the drink.
Always observant. Kelsey Grammer passed with flying colors.
Okay.
I fail because I'm too busy attending to his chin. I have such a high score in first aid.
Oh, wow.
Because the red mystery is coming out of his chin.
Francis, what did you get?
I got a 32 out of 25, so I failed.
Kelsey, you are the only one to see this. As you watch this amazing throw, you can't help but glance to the side over to your competitor's table, the True Believers, and you see a smirking Buddy Betts, owner of the local electronics store, Betts Buy Electronics.
Betts Buy!
Is my rival there too?
Your rival? Yes. Yeah.
Brian Strikes Mitchell. Brian Strokes Mitchell is Cam Winston. Come on, Will!
Oh, okay. All right, sure, yeah.
Good pull.
Wait, so yes, you see...
Brian Strokes Mitchell is Cam Winston. Who's the rival of Frasier, and I'm Kelsey Grammer. So my rival...
This Frasier lore is too deep.
I didn't think I was going to get outgunned on Frasier lore in the first fucking episode.
It was Brian the Librarian.
Brian the Librarian, yes. Brian the Librarian is also there. You see a smirking Buddy Betts discreetly fiddling with what can only be described as some sort of little gizmo, like an electronic gizmo. And as the ball hurtles towards a strike, but he twists a knob on this gizmo. Hard to the right, then looks down at it in alarm as it seems to have no effect. He looks around confused, then gawks, half enraged, half astonished, at Britannica Blue, who gives him a taunting smirk as she discreetly holds up two little batteries that she's apparently stolen from this guy's gizmo. So you see that, and then pow! Perfect strike, knocks it in, the crowd goes wild, you're watching this absolutely amazing moment, everyone's losing their fucking minds, Carly is swooning in delight, she was about to take a double sip out of this malt, but then she kind of spins one away, Shane is seething in the corner, and the True Believers do not look happy. They are both upset and like a little afraid, they're a little freaked out, it feels like they really, really did not want this to happen.
BB, dear. Well, what's that in your hand?
Oh, these are just, you know, these are batteries for my little dolly.
Brian? And who's the other guy?
Buddy Betts.
Buddy, Brian, get over here.
Whoa, what do you mean?
Don't act like you don't know me. I taught you both. Get over here. Get
Matt
over here.
Matt is invoking teacher privilege on every character in this town.
Buddy who got his GED at the age of 35.
Well, I'm 49. I'm 49.
He's an adult man. How long have you been teaching in this town that's existed for 10 years?
I taught your kids. Get over here.
Got him.
She walks over and says, what seems to be the... Congratulations, guys. Mm-hmm. Good job. Good job on the game. Everybody did a great job.
Yeah. Your words say one thing, but your face says another. Mister, put your hand out. Let me see what you got there.
He puts his hand on. There's nothing in his hand.
No, but I saw the little weird thingy.
I
saw a weird thingy, sir.
I don't know what that
you
means.
You teach your kids to lie at school?
I know, of course.
I mean, at home? Because I don't teach them that at school.
I don't teach them at school. You teach them at school.
I do teach them.
Do you teach my kids to lie at school?
Too.
Like you're lying about me right now?
BB, what were you waving?
I wasn't waving anything, honest. You know that I'm honest.
Everybody here, you all disappoint me. I'm ashamed of all of you. I'll find out what's going on. BB, I always do.
BB is going to go ahead and take a sanity roll for hearing that her favorite teacher is disappointed in her. So sanity is basically this game's version of psychic damage. You have a whole second set of hit points that are like your sanity points. We won't get into too much into the details now, but suffice it to say, whenever you see something spooky and non-Euclidean and terrifying, or when your favorite teacher is disappointed in you, you lose a little bit of your tenuous grip on reality. Okay, so she loses 3 sanity points. She's like, oh, jeepers, Miss Grammer. You don't have to come down so hard on me. I got detective stuff going on, and sometimes I need a little discretion. I need a little breathing room.
Okay.
I wasn't doing anything honest.
Hey, I believe you. Question is, do you believe yourself?
She makes another sanity roll.
But Kelsey, why would anybody lie?
Oh, well, Trudy, you're right.
What about my husband?
My husband's
on a different bowling league because he wants me to be out of the house between noon and 2 every Tuesday. I don't know why.
We know. I've had a lot of talks with the kids about that, too. So, yeah.
You have?
Wait, what? What are you teaching them, Matt?
I've covered. I've helped her out.
Oh, because A for affair.
A for affair.
Oh, wow.
Adultery. Mama Mia. Adultery.
The owner of the Bolarama Bowling Bowl, Milton, what did I had a name for him.
Milton Friedman?
Milton Friedman.
Milton Friedman, owner of the Bolarama Bowling Bowl, comes over to you and says, I've just come up with a great new economic theory based on how well you've been rolling those rocks tonight. And here is and again, he looks kind of nervous and looks a little weird, but he's like, I guess I got to go along with this. Here is your trophy. Congratulations, guys. I have no choice but to give this to you since you won fair and square and everybody's watching.
Francis,
I think this is yours. Hoist it up above your head, Francis. This one's yours.
I can't. It's too heavy.
Get your gal, Trudy, to help you out.
Trudy?
Hold on, wait. Yeah, Trudy.
Oh, I couldn't possibly lift anything. That's a man's job.
Carly. Hey, Carly. Carly, get over here.
Little old me?
Yes. Francis wishes you
your gosh,
presence.
Oh my gosh, Francis, you're hurt.
There's a voice I fell in love with.
Carly takes out a handkerchief and dabs the blood off of your chin.
I feel like I just have to roll not to faint or something.
Okay, yes, go for it.
I got a 58 out of what stat would you say that is?
I guess that's constitution,
it feels like.
Then yeah, I have a 25 constitution, so I go down.
Oh no! Oh my goodness! Oh no! Somebody! Oh my goodness!
Make sure you tend to his.
This fucking kid passed out. Jeez Louise!
Oh no! Not because of the monthly river. I'll tend to him, and I roll first aid. I'm trying to get below 45. I got a 50. I fucked up.
Oh no! What do you try to do?
I get my handkerchief and I like move Carly's out of the way, and mine's far daintier and more exquisite.
You hate to see women pitted against each other.
You really do, but I tap it against Francis's chin. Little did I know that my husband Tucker had been blowing his microbe nose into my handkerchief. So now he's got.
As we all know,
whatever.
There's a lot of bacteria in the human body.
Yeah, there's so much bacteria, as we've discovered recently. And so you have an illness.
I'm gonna have to flip through the tome for that one later. While you're attempting to revive Francis, Milton Friedman is like, seriously though, do you guys just-
I'll take the trophy as the team captain. I'd like to make a little speech if that's all right.
That sounds great. So it's basically, it looks like one of those big cheesy trophies you get for winning like
a giant block of cheese.
Huh?
A big old hunk of cheddar.
It looks
in Wisconsin.
Like Freddie came up with a new style of improv. It's a trophy. It's a hunk of cheese.
Yeah, instead of no butt, it's instead maybe.
Well, he said it's a big cheesy trophy.
It's a big cheesy trophy. Oh. It is unfortunately not a big chunk of cheese. It's like one of those cups. You know, like one of the trophy cups? They're called a loving cup, which I did not know.
Okay.
What? I had to Google, like, you know, the trophy cup, and like that's called a loving cup. It's a big cup.
Why is it called the loving cup?
I don't know, because it's for lovers or something.
There's jizz in there, man.
Jizz in there, dog. Why do you think we all have one in our bathroom, dog?
You have a big trophy in your bathroom.
Yeah, it was called.
Every time I'm looking at my dick, I get to look at the award that it got.
Really quick, loving cup is because it has two handles on the side. It's meant for like ceremonial wedding banquets or meeting drinking. So it's like a unity friendship thing.
Well, I like Beth's idea better.
Because you jizz in it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, then you can use both handles to drink from it.
All right. That was originally the band was called Limp Loving Cup. As you hold up this big cheesy looking not block of cheese gold loving cup, it's like sitting on some plastic pillars, it's got a little engraving on it. It's surprisingly heavy in your hands. Whoa, like you would think from looking at it, it's like kind of just a,
I'm like a
stupid
beefy
little
guy too.
Plastic, you know, thing. Beefy? But like this thing's heavy and it's kind of cold. Like it's like kind of hot in here because it's the middle of the day, AC's on the fritz, but you swear you can see condensation on this thing, like it just came out of a freezer. As you gaze into the cup's shiny gold lacquer coating, you see a grotesque mockery of your own face staring back at you. Maybe it's just a trick of the light, but you swear your reflection is smiling at you. That's all.
Well, someone else wants to hold. You want to hold this?
What did you see, Tony?
Sure, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, here, someone else. I'll get this foul
Kelsey,
visitor.
We couldn't possibly.
Both of
possibly
you.
Possibly what?
Oh,
you want to hold it with me?
No, I couldn't possibly. Oh. I mean, well, I suppose if Tucker's not around, I might lift up the trophy as well. On three?
Sure.
A one, a two, a three.
We both lift it up.
Okay, same goes. It's really cold and heavy in your hands. You see a weird, freaky reflection of yourself. And then I think maybe, Trudy, you feel like a little bit of power that you've never felt before.
Oh,
like, you feel a little bit of, like, you're seeing this version of yourself in this reflection, and she's scary looking and distorted and strange, but, like, there's something compelling about her as she gazes into your eyes.
My, is that what I look like?
This winning is wonderful. When I joined the bowling club, I didn't think we would actually win something. This feels great.
Well, we're all winners.
Yeah, Francis, wake up. Oh, you just hit your chin. You can wake up.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I think
you're just sleeping.
I lied ahead.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Just get up. You're good.
Okay, I'm up.
Yeah. Well, that's, hold the trophy. You got it.
Yeah.
You might see a weird face of yourself smiling, too. It's pretty neat.
Oh, geez. That guy looks confident.
Just a trick of the light.
Look, it looks like he has a cool mustache.
I haven't gone to Mirrors or Reflections yet, but from what I remember, it's just a trick of the light.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Blue Nile.
I'm tired of living in a state of denial. I gotta get engaged.
It's time to get married, everybody. Yeah. Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a gift. It's probably pretty good, one would hope. And you get to see the look on their face when they open it. The hard part, finding the right piece.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping you from buying the ring you want now while you're waiting to find the man that you need. Later, right?
Yeah, absolutely what I should be doing.
Yeah, just buy the ring you want now.
Figure out how to get the perfect piece at the best price, Beth. BlueNile.com. Thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below retail.
Wish I could find thousands of independently graded men. Am I right?
Peace of mind with every purchase. You ain't getting that on Hinge. With some of the highest quality standards in the industry, not even Raya can keep up with that. Whether you want to make a classic statement.
You know what they say about online dating, the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Whether you may want to make a classic statement by gifting a white gold tennis bracelet. That's a...
white gold white cocaine?
A tennis bracelet?
Ooh.
Like in Challengers?
Like in Challengers, yep.
Oh, fuck, yes.
Or maybe...
just like in Challengers.
Yep.
Sapphire and diamond hoop earrings?
Beth, let's start
bracelets.
By finding one guy before it's too
no,
high.
No, I need two, and they need to make out with each other, too.
Blue Nile jewelry experts can help you find the perfect gift for... what is it? A thruple situation? What is it? Is it Jules and Jim? Like, what is Challengers? What was it?
It's kind of like a combative thruple.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The dream, right?
Yeah.
What jewelry will I need to buy to make the two boys kiss?
Well, you know, you could ask Blue Nile's experts because they're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. What are some expected or unexpected challenges you might encounter when shopping for jewelry gifts? Well, first and foremost, when you have two tennis players vying for your attention and you're trying to make
different ring
them,
sizes.
Yep, multiple sizing, different tastes. You want to make them jealous of each other.
Yes.
If you want to recreate that famous scene in Challengers when Zendaya holds up an engagement ring and goes, which one of you kisses best? I give this one to. And the two boys kiss each other. Go to Blue Nile.
And also, while they're kissing each other in your hotel room, you can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. They might be locking lips and tonguing each other,
but you're
not locked into a bad deal. That's right, Ben. Hell yeah. And just in case.
Holy shit.
30-day returns. That's a big 3-0, a.k.a. a finished set in tennis. Shop Blue Nile
you're
today.
You're going to love these rings.
Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, that's the tournament. I mean, what did you guys have planned for the rest of the day?
Oh.
Well,
just more bowling.
What do they do after they're done bowling?
We could go to my soda shop and I could get malts for everybody.
Oh, I like that. I always love a good malt. Let's go get malts.
Malt time.
I'm really proud of myself. All I tell myself when I bowl is just get above my age, and it's going to get harder every year, but I broke it. I got above a 49. I'm pretty happy.
The bowling score sheet was like everyone was horrible to mediocre, and then like BB is just like rolling dingers. Fucking dingers. It's just like X's and slashes all the way across the board.
I feel like Trudy rolls nothing but strikes. I feel like Trudy is like
Trudy
is mechanically
does roll
flawless.
Really well.
Yeah, like her body moves like super precise.
Yep. Well, as long as I'm home by 3 p.m. sharp, I can go get a soda,
Trudy,
I suppose.
Trudy, it is like 4:30.
Oh, my goodness. I should be home.
All right, as the four of you race out of the parking lot to either run home to your husband or go get a nice cool malt at, I believe it's the Jerk Shop, is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
While you're heading out the door, you see four toughs hanging out by your cars. Mm-hmm. Looking mean.
Italians.
Hey, now watch yourself there, Farnsworth. I happen to be Italian myself.
They were on the wrong side of the war, I'll tell you what. Now they're in our town.
They're in our town.
I love their food, but don't much like their faces. Their accents. I'm sorry.
I know you're not supposed to say things like that.
You're teaching kids.
Truly, let me just say I'm glad that we've entrusted the youth of America to your fine keeping.
Kelsey. This game's so racist, H.P. Lovecraft's going to have to say we're problematic.
Just walk past them without saying anything. They're just upset that they lost the war.
10 years on and the Italians still haven't let go.
So,
Peachyville, everybody's welcome except Italians.
As you try to discreetly walk to your car, these toughs roll up to you.
They roll up in their Mario Kart.
This is a whole fun backstory for these guys. They're clearly Italian now. So they walk up to you, these four hoods. They're all like 13 years old, and they're glaring straight at Britannica. And she's like, oh, gosh. It's even worse than Italians. It's the Night Gaunts. Everybody hang back. I know these guys from middle school.
Are they Italian?
I don't know. One of them might be, but I don't know which one.
Let's wait to see when he talks.
They always give themselves away with the hands.
So these toughs walk up to you guys and they say, congratulations on the big match.
Well, thank you very much.
Shut up, you old broad. I ain't talking to you.
Excuse me.
So that's the voice of their leader, a salty young girl of about 13 years old named Molly MacArthur, a.k.a. the General. She shall return.
I don't listen to anybody that young talking to me like that. Just because you're sad and upset that your parents left the war.
I want to roll to catch it.
Ooh. I think
dexterity?
That's an opposed roll. So yes, you can use your dexterity. Okay, what'd you get?
I rolled a 65 out of 60.
Molly got a 99, yes! Which is a critical failure. So yes. This 13-year-old girl, I think what happens is she flicks it at your head. Mm-hmm. Like the butt bounces off of your head into her mouth.
Oh my god.
Step aside, Francis. I need to set one thing straight. Now I want to backhand her.
Oh my god.
She talked to an adult.
But she's a kid.
Well, yeah, man.
And it's the 50s.
It's the motherfucking 50s, baby. Guess what? Adults get to hit children with no consequences, dude. We just came back fresh from defeating Hitler and the boys and Hirohito and his Japanese dude.
You're right.
I actually agree with Freddy because as part of my fighting stats, I have spanking.
Oh no, oh no.
I would like to take 2 steps forward and then cock my right hand and backhand this child's mouth.
All right, now she does have, before you decide to throw arms down on a 12-year-old girl.
You said 13!
That's okay!
She is backed up by her goons, who are also 12.
Do you think
Toni Collette, a man who has fought World War II, cares of four children in a fucking parking lot? He was clearing out caves in Guadalcanal, dude!
One of them is Italian.
Yeah, and you don't know which one yet.
I guess my fist will do the talking.
I guess we're in combat. Is it combat or you just slap her? Alright. Give me a fighting brawl roll. So we'll call this a surprise attack.
Wouldn't be a surprise if you had mouthed off. 88 for a 50. I whiff. And then as my hand careens through nothing but air, it spins my entire body around, and it looks like I do a cool Michael Jackson dance move. And now all of a sudden, I'm like just combing my hair back as I spin back around. Like, meant to do that.
Dance of the future.
And I put my hand down in front of her mouth, like when a teacher collects gum, and I snap my fingers to like get her to spit out the cigarette.
Molly begrudgingly spits out her cigarette.
And then I relight it, and I go, don't waste these things. They're hell good for you. Now you four take your cigarettes and go back home.
No. And she snatches a cigarette back and says, listen, that little girl, Britannica Blue, she acts like a big smarty pants, but I think she's a no good cheat because this match was supposed to be rigged and we bet a bunch of money on it and we didn't win our money. And I think she had something to do with it.
Money? That's what men make.
Britannica, did you rig this match in our favor?
Please. As if I would defile the great spirit of America and this nation by cheating at our most honored game, bowling. I was uncheating this game, good sir. Listen, as you all know, I, Britannica Blue, ace detective.
Yes.
I'm always working cases. I'm always looking the angles. I got a tip that someone's been rigging the bowling matches at this bowling alley. And sure enough, I found evidence. I found an electromagnetic cable snaked down the gutter that was ready at the flip of a switch to pull a ball straight into the gutter and ruin a roll. And I saw the opportunity to steal those batteries out and save this match, and that's what I did. So
Molly,
I say, we're not going to be giving you anything. That match was won by our good friend Farnsworth right here. Mr. Francis Farnsworth won that fair and square, and he's a big, strong adult, and he can beat you up.
I sure can, he says, putting up his dukes limply.
You hear that, Francis? All those gutter balls wasn't your fault.
Oh, No, well, she said yes, they are my fault.
And well, yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's what I'm getting from this.
So Molly and her goons are like, look, all I know is we're out some dough and we want something. So why don't you guys give us that big shiny trophy and there won't be no problems.
I don't give a shit. Will be fine. You can have it.
Sure. All right.
But I won that. Fair
oh, yeah.
Square.
No, Francis.
Oh, hold on. You're that's right. That's Francis. Francis, trophy. This one's yours. You get to decide what
look,
to do with it.
Look, look. Okay. Here you go. Here,
and I saw my reflection for the first time.
Look, you can each.
There's no mirrors in the house, damn.
I pull out 4 packs of cigarettes. I say, you can each have a pack of cigarettes. That's enough, okay? Now make sure you smoke those all before you go to bed.
Shit, that's very good.
Now get out of here.
Give me an advantage persuasion roll. Because yeah, these kids love smokes.
I give advantages. I mean, just roll again.
Everyone loves smokes.
Winston's, that's the brand Fred Flintstone smokes.
It was also the brand my brother smoked.
Look how longly in the distance.
He smokes Lucky's now.
I just barely, I got 64 out of 65.
Oh, great. There's an intense huddle as all the kids.
Hands shaking, tobacco withdrawal clearly.
They're just like, man, we're out of smokes. We're out of smokes at the clubhouse. How can we shoot pool if we can't do smokes? Come on, we don't need a trophy. Forget this trophy. Come on. And she's like, cool it, okay? We got to stick with the plan. We got to smoke these. Oh, God, all I can think about is my next fix, my next nicotine fix. All right, let's do it. Let's do it, guys. And they turn like, we'll take those smokes and we'll let you keep this trophy. What do we care about a trophy?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know great. A trophy from nothing.
All right. By the way, I just heard that your clubhouse is not constantly packed with smokes. What do you kids do it? And I hand them an extra one each.
Wow. You're all right, Teach. And the night gaunts run away, plumes of smoke following them off into the
you
night.
You can always smell them coming.
I feel like we jump ahead to, like, you know, end of the day, nighttime.
Well, bye, everyone. I'm off to my car dealership. Francis, come on by with Carly afterwards, and we'll hook you up with a discount on a brand new Edsel.
I make minimum wage. I have, like, $10, enough to buy 2 cars.
Why, you could raise a family and have a home with a front yard and a mortgage and a car with that kind of money. Don't worry, friends. I have a new idea. It's called rental cars. I got something that'll fit any size budget. For you and your best guy.
Oh, geez, driving somebody around would be pretty impressive.
So the sun sets over Peachyville. Night is beginning to fall. The malt shops are closing. The other 1950s establishments are turning in for the night. You know, the hardware store, the bookstore that only has books on apple pie and why America is good. The stars are beginning to twinkle in the sky. And I want to get a sense of what own life is like for all of you. Right around the 7:30, 8 o'clock hour. Martini hour, in fact, for many cocktail slinging households.
At Kelsey Grammer's house, which is the back house of her brother and sister, who she's the eldest of the 7 kids of the Grammer household. And you see she turns on the TV and she's pulling on, I don't know, the Donna Reed show. She's just got some TV in the background.
Nice, Donna.
Yeah. She's got just books everywhere. She opens up her own encyclopedia she's working on. The title keeps changing. Right now it's the Kelseypedia. She doesn't like it. She crosses it out. And she goes and she's flipping through. She's looking at bowling. She has a little note, round ball, very nice. And then she turns up the volume of the TV, and she fucking puts her dukes up, and she turns around, and she starts boxing against this, like, she's got, like, a hanging one of those, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and she's boxing the shit out of it, huh?
A speed bag?
Speed bag. And she's going,
oh,
she's
wow.
punching the shit
she's
out of
cannon.
It.
She's got a cannon. Holy shit, okay. Yeah.
And then as she's boxing so fast that the pages are blowing. And where does it go? It blows to the thing that she's working on. B-O-X-I-N-G, boxing. That's the current thing she's developing.
Holy cow. While that's going on, give me a listen roll.
I got to beat a 50. I got 28.
Okay, so in that case, you hear the knock at the door.
What do you want? Yes. Yes. Nice stop.
Oh, it's me.
Who?
You'd recognize the creepy voice of Milton, your brother's oldest son, who's like a willowy wisp of a young man who's always hanging around.
Oh, 1 second. Oh, Milton, he's such a weird child. Okay. Yes.
And you open the door, I assume?
No. Hello. What would you like?
I'm indecent. It sounds like you're working up quite a sweat in there, and I brought a...
a young man should not say that about an older lady.
It sounds like you're in there, and I wanted to come in and give you something.
I'm going to lean out the, like, side window.
I'm like, oh, the door's stuck. One sec. And I like go to like the side window that's like overlooking the front door. And I want to see if I can see what he's holding.
Okay, so Milton, who's got like his button down shirt buttoned all the way up. And is like, he's got that like
the middle part.
Oh, you know, the
the old Red Sea, dog. The straight up Moses special,
dude. He's got like a fresh baked apple pie and like a big cold glass of milk. Ooh, he was just, I just thought that maybe you...
She opens the door the moment she sees the apple pie. She opens the door.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Well, this is for you.
Thank you so much.
I know that apple's your favorite because you're a teacher and teachers like apples.
Pies are my jam.
And
and what's your jam?
I love jam.
And I love jam.
And here's a big, big cold glass of milk because I thought in his hands like kind of shaking as he gives it to you.
Okay, next time, I only want prepackaged drinks from you. I just take it and I put it aside. Oh, I'll make sure to wash the pie down.
Oh, gosh, no, that's sure. Okay, yeah. Okay, sure.
Well, thank you so much. It's really nice of you.
Yeah, thanks, Kelsey. I mean, Mrs. Grammar. I mean, Auntie,
yeah, Mrs.
Auntie
Grammar,
Kelsey.
That's the proper way to say it.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'm going to go. And he turns around and then right before he leaves, he goes, there was someone came by to see you.
Oh, who was it?
He had a trench coat and a big hat on, and he said that you owed him some money, and he said that I should let him know if you came by, and he said to give you this, and he gives you a business card.
Wow, that sounds like...
It just says, where's my money on it?
That sounds like somebody that just walks around and scares people for fun. Just don't tell anybody what you saw, and everything's fine. Thank you so much for the pie.
You're welcome.
Okay, you can leave now.
Okay.
You're staring straight at me.
Okay.
I'm going to close the door. Thanks for the pie.
Okay, I'll stand here and watch out and make sure that guy doesn't come back.
Yeah, you know what? He's probably will come from the front lawn, so why don't you wait out there?
Okay, I will.
Good night, Milton.
Okay.
Bye now. Close the door. I look out the window. Is he still there?
Did you lock the door?
Of course. Yes.
Okay, I'm leaving.
And then he leaves.
Okay. No.
Let's hop over to tell me about Toni the Collette. Living quarters of Toni Collette.
Toni Collette lives in the back parking lot of Tony's cars, exclamation point. Each one has like a more exclamation points. And this is Tony's used car / occasional new car dealership that he runs on the edge of town. And Toni lives in a little rundown RV Airstream situation out back. And he's right now currently in a stained tank top, smoking a cigarette and like a drink in one hand.
It's a real Warren Beatty Goodfellas kind of tank top.
Freddie, it's the 50s. You can call it a wife beater.
Wow. That's so good. That's so fucking good.
Sorry. Probably cut that.
No, keep
it. And he's kind of unsteadily, because he's a little bit soused, aiming his Colt 1911 service pistol at some beer cans, at some pull tab beer cans that he's lined up along a fence.
In his RV?
No, outside.
Oh, outside. Okay.
He's put a little seating area for his RV, like a little like lawn chair. And, you know, so he's out there and he's just taking pot shots. And he's like, yeah.
All right. Give me a, what's your firearm skill?
With a pistol.
Whatever you're shooting. What are you shooting?
Your Colt 1911, right? Colt. 20 with the firearms on the handgun.
Okay, so
they're not very good.
And you're drunk, so we'll say you have a penalty dice.
Okay, what's a penalty dice?
It's like disadvantage. You'd roll the tens unit twice and take the worst one. So roll 2d10s. One is your tens, one's your single.
I see. Well, I'll tell you what, with a 44, that's a miss. So he's not hitting anything.
Okay.
And the gun jams like fucking piece of shit.
And then you hear a window shatter.
Ah!
And then God damn it, Toni! You hear just like angry, like footsteps coming over and just took, and it's your neighbor, Tyrus Luo, owner of Luo's Golden Wok, the local Chinese restaurant, who Freddie insisted I play as the rival of Toni Collette. He says, God damn it, Toni, I told you to stop firing guns around the whole neighborhood. You're gonna wake people up. I almost got my head blown off.
Luo, how are you shifty Formosan? How am I supposed to
It's called Taiwan. It's no one calls it Formosa anymore.
You and your crazy language. I'll call it what I want. The Portuguese got one thing right, and that's when they colonize your asses. Listen here. How am I supposed to keep myself, my body, and my property safe if I don't keep my firearm skills tip-top?
Listen,
you get out of the way. You just duck your head when you hear this, when you hear old Betsy here.
I can't duck until I hear the bullets. That's how the speed... Didn't you go to a thing on relativity? But the bullet travels faster than the sound. By the time I heard the gunshot, my window was already shattered.
I happen to know Mr. Einstein pretty well myself, and I'll tell you, he didn't take too kindly to you Formosans.
I keep telling you, we're both Americans.
I know that.
My family's been here longer than your family.
I know that too.
So I just, can we, look, here's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Unless you want word getting out about your war record.
So typical of your type to threaten me with this blackmail on a Tuesday night, no less.
What unit?
I should have expected this.
All right.
You always following old Chiang Kai-shek's orders. Oh, General Chiang Kai-shek might have a thing or two to say about this kind of shiftiness.
I can't even begin to explain the number of things
here.
There.
Listen here, Tyrus. I'll keep sending the teens over there, and you keep sending those teens over here. We're good. We're square. And then if at night I have to take a few pot shots while I'm honing my killer instinct, well, that's just something you're going to have to live with.
I begrudgingly have accepted that you send teenagers over to the parking lot of my restaurant to have discreet sex in your rental cars. And I get a little kickback, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't have bullets flying over my property. So unless you want people to start, what unit was it that you served in World War II in again?
This unit, and I backhand them.
give me a combat roll.
Oh, a 13 out of 50, which means that I succeed.
Yeah, he did not roll that well. So yes, you crack him one right across the face. He says, that tears it. This isn't over.
You're damn right. It's a good thing I have a gun.
Well, you're just going to see what maybe I have one of these days. One of these days, Tony. One of these days. And he stomps off.
Yeah, I love that guy. That's a true blue American right there. That man's a man I'd probably call my American neighbor.
Let's jump over to the Trout household.
Okay. Trudy has made a lovely four-course meal. It's getting a little cold now because nobody eats until Tucker comes home from his job at Inventor. He's an inventor.
His job at Inventor?
Yep. And so Trudy's lovely 2.5 children are sitting eagerly around the table waiting to eat. That's little Tuck, Tina, and Timmy. Yeah.
Tuck, Tina, and Timmy.
Is Timmy the 0.5?
Yeah, yeah.
How is he 0.5?
Well, nobody really cares about Timmy.
So little Tuck is like, jeepers, Mom, I sure am hungry, and that pot roast looks delicious.
I know, Lil Tuck, but we've got to wait until Big Tucker gets home. It'll be any second now. Oh, and he'll just be so delighted to see us like he always is.
Timmy's like, yeah, I'm sure he will be, Mom.
Timmy, what? Did I hear something?
Yeah.
I don't think I heard anything at all.
Okay. And he just goes back to reading his copy of L'Étranger. Is that The Stranger? Is that how you say it? How do you say it in French?
I think that's it.
He's reading, yes, he's reading L'Étrange. He's reading some Camus and flipping through his book, and he just gives a wistful sigh. He's like, no one in this family understands me.
Some people think they're so cool because they can read.
So at that moment, you hear a loud bang from the basement, and you hear footsteps coming up, and then your husband, Tucker, comes out of the basement covered in sweat and grease. He says, all right, let's have some food, family.
Of course. It's a little cold, Tucker, because you're 3 hours later than you normally are.
Oh, sweetheart. And he gives you a little kiss on the cheek, and then he sits down and says, well, I'm ready to eat. So how was everyone's day?
Well, I have quite a bit of news. Our bowling team, the Guttural Scream, mm-hmm. We got a big trophy because we won.
Say, that's pretty swell.
Yep.
I bet there's some big, strong fellows on that team who carried you over the finish line, huh?
Oh, yes. In fact, there's a youth, Francis Farnsworth. He got his chin cut a little bit, but he was such a strong player.
Are you saying there was some sort of fracas? Was there a fight? What? How did this boy get his chin cut?
Oh, no, it was nothing, honey. It was just,
Trudy.
Yes, Tuck.
Okay.
He fell.
Well, it sounds like this might be a dangerous activity that you've been going to go do down at this bowling alley.
Well, gosh, Tucker, when you put it like that, maybe my season should be over. And maybe we can, you know, be together during Tuesdays from noon to two.
Well, I don't know about that, but maybe we can find you a safer hobby. But from now on, I don't want you talking to any of those bowling people anymore.
Sure thing, honey.
And then you hear a phone call. The phone rings.
I get it.
Okay. But if it's a man, tell him to talk to me because we don't want someone swindling you out of money or something like that.
Of course, honey. Tucker residence, Trudy Tucker, Trudy Tucker. Fuck me.
Wait, so your husband's name is Tucker Tucker?
No, Trout.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I just think he owns the whole house. Trout residence, Trudy Trout speaking.
Trudy, it's Britannica. I need help. I need an adult.
Oh my gosh, you need an adult? Why don't you speak to my husband?
They jump me on the way home. Strange men in strange masks. Commies, probably, or beatniks. I socked their leader in the jaw and made a break for it, but they're hot on my trail. Listen, whatever you do, trust no one. Don't even...
And then you just hear like... And the voice of this girl getting dragged off into the woods fades away on the phone.
Trudy looks to Tucker and then back at the phone and says... I'm not interested, thank you.
Hear
these solicitors calling all the time at dinner.
You hear fumbling on the other end of the phone, like someone's picking it up.
But I'll listen in to see if you have another offer for me.
Midnight, 195 Peachy Canyon Road. The trophy. Bring the trophy. You're being watched. If you go to the cops, she dies. If you tell anyone, she dies. We want your team and you at 195 Peachy Canyon Road. Midnight with the trophy. Did you get all that? You're not saying anything.
It's just that Tucker and I are normally in our separate
beds.
Don't
tell anyone else. Yes. Okay?
You can count on me to get help.
Who is it, dear?
Oh!
Is that a man? I think I hear it sounds like a man.
Oh, yes, it is a man. Yes. Oh, he must have hung up when he heard how big and strong you were as a man. Stronger man.
That sounds like probably something that would happen and make sense. So I'm going to keep eating this kind of cold pot roast.
Please do. I'm just going to give a call to my gal pal, Kelsey.
You go ahead and do that, dear. Actually, you know what? I'm feeling like I want to take this food with me back down into my laboratory, so don't come after me. Nobody open the door. Yes. We all know that Daddy gets very mad when we open the door. Don't we know that, children? And they're like, yes, Dad. Okay, then. And he goes downstairs with his big pot roast.
Will I see you tonight?
Maybe.
Okay, honey. Okay. Trudy frantically dials Kelsey's number.
Four.
Fourth residence of Peachyville here.
Kelsey, we need a man.
Oh, okay. Well, dear, you are married, but finally, have you gotten that divorce we've talked about?
What?
did he finally do it?
Do what?
Oh, you're not ready, are you?
I'm not ready for a lot of things.
Okay. Well, okay. When you say we need a man, what do you
there
mean?
There was a person on the phone mm-hmm. that kidnapped our dear friend Britannica Blue.
The moment you say kidnap, Kelsey is opening up like a memory box of her brother who served in World War I, and she's pulling out the Colt 1911 and racking
her Colt 1911.
So 1911.
Mm-hmm. You know what? She reads it. She goes, M1911.
Mm-hmm. She kind of called the cops.
She goes, say that again. Has somebody kidnapped BB?
Yes, somebody kidnapped BB and then also made threatening remarks, said to meet them at a specific address that I cannot remember and didn't write down at midnight sharp tonight.
Okay, well,
that is
midnight.
Far past my bedtime, so I assume that we could talk to the boys in our bowling club and get them to bring the trophy to this mysterious caller.
We should definitely talk to everybody. Also, on a related question, do you know how to use a gun?
And a gun is... Oh, that big ball of gas in the sky that's so bright. Yes, I know what a gun is.
Okay, Trudy.
Here comes the gun.
Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Hims.
Boing.
Boing. Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy.
What it is?
Wait, what?
Why was it if your sex life is not important and you're pretty free?
Well, you may not have the time to go to the doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction, but through Hims, you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. The dream! Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper.
Do they have Flintstone versions?
Wish I had a generic alternative to my wife.
I'm pretty sure that Hanna-Barbera.
Dude, I want whatever Barney Rubble's eating. That guy, that guy's
got
to go.
You
home.
See, they got so much energy that they could drive a car with their feet. The process
dude,
is
Barney
simple.
Barney was punching above his weight limit, like 100%.
That's true. He didn't skip leg day, dude. He had thighs, dog. Barney could grip me between his thighs any day of the week. The process
dick, it's
is
like,
simple.
It's a living.
Process simple, 100% online, no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a series of questions on their site. The medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance needed if ED is getting you
dude,
down.
Dude, Barney probably wears that, just like that long shirt so that he could just like roll it up at any time. His dick is right there. Like that's why he's wearing that long shirt.
It's time you join the hundreds of thousands of trusted HIMS subscribers to get treated. Start your free online visit today at HIMS.com/daddies. That's HIMS.com/daddies for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/daddies.
Get as hard as the Stone Age.
Hartman's nice. Are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Francis, why don't you go ahead and tell me what is going on? And we'll say like a little bit of time has passed. The rest of the house is asleep.
Oh, you know that happens in a teenage boy's house.
So teenage boy in his room after a big sweaty victory. What's going on in there?
I mean, he's viciously masturbating. Thinking about the fact that he actually did something good today. And he's looking at the trophy while he's doing it. And he's looking at the smiling version of himself in the reflection of the trophy.
Yeah. And the version of yourself in the reflections got like a real mean looking fucking.
I feel like the one in the reflection is like, ugh.
And then your mom calls him and says,
honey, do you want a milkshake?
And you just go, mom! Don't talk when I'm
polishing my trophy, mom!
The phone rings in the middle of what you're doing.
Sorry, Francis. Francis slows and picks up the phone.
Oh no!
Francis?
Francis stops.
Francis?
Yes.
Oh, God, I think out of you 2 years gasping, you're out of breath. What's going on over there?
Nothing. I was just carrying the trophy up to my room.
Oh, hon, you got to work out more. You got to exercise. You got to work on those arms.
I know, but I still won today, so I feel like maybe not so much with the criticism today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can
I
get from
right.
one,
no, you did great.
One day without thinking about how weak I am?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just, you know what they say, once a student, always a student. I just always want to look out for you. But ignore that. We're like, BB, Trudy says she got kidnapped?
Kidnapped?
From probably those Italians, let's be honest.
No, the eye ties.
Yeah. Only thing Trudy remembers, unless, like you said, criticism, let's not, you know, she has a hard time with numbers and things like that. She knows that it's at midnight, but she doesn't quite know the address. Trudy, anything you remember about the street or the address?
Conference call.
You guys are on a party line.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the address, I think it started with a number.
You wrote it down, right?
I think she would write it down.
Okay.
That makes sense for the story.
Oh, Trudy, one sec, I just realized, are you still listening?
Yes.
Okay, look down. Do you see a piece of paper?
Oh my goodness, and it's got the address written right on
it.
Oh
my gosh, Trudy.
And what is that address with?
195 Peachy Canyon Road, midnight.
Yeah, canonically, when she was writing it down, she's like, 1 9 Peachy Canyon Road.
So I know it's past your bedtime, but I think we got to get the whole guttural screen team together because the Italians have asked for all of us to bring the trophy. Otherwise, they said they're gonna.
Oh, no!
As she says that, and she says the word trophy, you notice the lights flicker around you in the house. And all of a sudden, the entire world around you goes black. You're still in our reality. You're still in your bedroom, as far as you can tell. You still feel the phone up against your cheek, but you cannot see anything.
Oh no, they were telling me the truth when they said masturbation makes you go blind.
Francis? You still there?
I'm here. I just can't see anything.
Okay.
Like the lights went out or something.
I don't know much, but
you hear a loud thud on the roof and the flapping of wings, like big wings, almost like an eagle landed on the roof. And you hear footsteps coming down towards where, like, at first you think it's a power outage, but then you realize, like, you can't even see out the window. Like, there's nothing outside at all. But you hear these footsteps going towards what you remember being your window.
What's happening, Francis?
Somebody's on the roof.
Kelsey is flipping too. She's grabbing her M volume and she goes to masturbation, which is completely blank. And she's like, blind? Question mark. What else are you seeing?
Leathery wings.
I heard wings and feet. And oh, I think I'm going to try to hide under my bed.
Now, the next part is very important.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to take you.
So, yeah, Francis is going to put the phone down and try to hide under his bed.
Okay, great. Give me a...
Stealth?
Yeah, I think a stealth roll. That makes sense.
Francis has a 90 in stealth.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, wow.
He got a 94.
Oh, no! Dude, the puberty growth spurt means that his feet are sticking out from under the bed.
Yeah.
You expertly dive to what would be a corner of the room that, like, you could really easily hide under, but your pants are still around your ankles from jerking off, so you trip and make a huge loud noise as you face plant into the ground.
Oh!
And Kelsey's like, wait, what am I doing? And she opens up the door and then runs next door, which is where Francis is.
Okay, this is good.
Francis!
Okay, so here's how we'll do this. We'll do a little bit of his, and then we'll do a little bit of yours, and then if anyone else wants to live next door, fucking go for it, I guess. We'll tell you all know each other.
Yeah, it's a small town.
Do you say anything to Trudy before you leave?
Yeah, I'll say, like, Trudy, I'm running over to the Farnsworth.
Let me look behind me. Oh, they live right there.
Just cross the street.
Okay,
Trudy.
Yeah, you hear her starting on the phone, and then you see her running across, like Ferris Buellering her way through backyards and picket fences over to the Farnsworth house.
Trudy's like, Tucker, I'm gonna step out to go knitting just for a second.
Okay.
Your kids are like, Mom, what's going on?
Shut up. Just go to bed, sweetums.
Whatever. I guess I could go to bed, or I could stay up and stare at the sky and the moon.
If you continue with that attitude, Timmy, you're not going to have a bed.
What?
Whoa!
Timmy just like backs away and goes up the stairs towards his bed. He's like, okay, Mom, okay. Geez,
who's
please.
My favorite 0.5?
I am.
Okay, I'll be gone.
Okay, so the two of you are running towards the Farnsworth house.
Yes. Okay. Are your parents home?
Yes, his parents are home.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's in bed. Francis, in your room. You're on the ground, pants around your ankles. You hear this tapping noise, like this, like something scratching at the window, like kind of fumbling around and groping.
Francis tries to hurriedly get up and pull up his pants.
Okay.
And then he goes to his corner and feels around for the baseball bat that his dad gave him when he initially was hoping that his son would actually take up sports. And it's since been gathering dust for years and years and years.
Ooh, I love that. It's dark, but you know your room pretty well. Give me a luck roll with advantage. Let's do that.
Okay, my luck is 85.
Wow, that's lucky.
And I got a 53.
Okay, great. So you find the bat. And again, you can't see this thing, but you can hear it pounding on the glass. And you hear the glass begin to crack and then break.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. I'm going to start just hurriedly and panickedly swinging in front of me.
Okay, great.
Oh, I think I also shout, Mom!
How do we get you over here, Freddy? You're just drunk driving, or as they call it back then, driving around the town.
I can do that. I'll be going off for a spin in my brand new 1958 Edsel Ranger.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Give me an attack roll with your, do you have something for this bat?
I don't have anything for the bat. I have a brawl.
Technically, would it be like you have to have a bat specialty or something like that?
In brawl, in the same way there's firearms and there's guns, I feel like a bat would be in brawl.
Okay.
I feel like if you want to, you could give yourself a specialization for bat, but otherwise you can just use whatever your brawl is my guess, is what that looks like.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think I'll just use my brawl because he's definitely not specialized with this bat.
Okay, great. So yeah, give me an attack roll with your brawl.
The brawl is 65. And you got a 10.
You got a 10. Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Dude, Francis is hiding a fucking killer instinct.
Yeah. So that's under, under a fifth.
So the unseen thing is going to dodge. And it got a 91. So you swing this bat and you feel it just connect with something sharp. It's almost like you're whacking it against like a concrete wall or something like that.
Sorry.
Like, it's just like a bang. Now I need to
I'll never masturbate again.
Give me a damage roll. So that's 1d8 plus, what does damage base mean?
A damage bonus, DB?
Yeah.
Yeah, my DB is 0.
Okay, great. So yeah, then give me a...
6.
Oh, wow. 6 damage?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. All right.
Should have gone to sports.
So it sounds like you're breaking through like a lobster shell. Like, okay. Like when you like snap a lobster shell and it's like that kind of hard, sharp cracking sound. And you hear a sort of guttural squeal unlike anything you've ever heard before just erupt as you make this huge swing. And whatever is crawling through your window right now, you feel like you really got a piece of it. Okay, let's cut to the outside of the house now where Kelsey and Trudy are approaching the front door.
What are your parents' name again?
Ed and Kamon Juan, which is my mom's name.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Kamon Juan?
Yeah.
Ed, Kamon Juan, open up. It's Mrs. Grammer, your kid. He's doing nothing sinful, but he called. He needs, just open up.
We should just ring the doorbell.
Oh, good. Yeah, go ahead.
Do they have doorbells in the 1950s?
They did have that technology, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Trudy said that. It's like, yeah, Trudy, they do.
This thing that's been around since the 1913, since World War I.
Wow.
So upstairs, you see a light switch on, and Francis's parents come to the window. They're like, what? What's going on out there?
Order of operations. Number one, check on your son. Number two, could you open the door, please?
It's midnight. Do you know where your son is?
You hear footsteps going downstairs, and then back in the room, Anthony, you hear the door handle rattle as your mom is trying to get in, but she can't, because I assume you locked the door before jorking it.
Yeah. Does she say anything so that I know that it's her?
Francis, are you okay in there, dear? Hello?
Oh, Mom, come in, please.
I can't. You've locked your door for some reason.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, let me get that.
I told you not to lock this door.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was just you were sleeping. Let me unlock it for you.
The thing in the window is now going to get a turn.
Mothman. It's Mothman.
Mothman.
Yes, don't get wet.
All of you hear an unearthly hum, like a screech, almost like something like the static of a 3-channel TV set meets like a radio tuning, but with a sort of animal quality to it as well, like the drone of an insect, and it pierces your ears. So go ahead and give me a power roll.
Oh, wow. I've been meaning to get my ears pierced.
My power is 40. I got a 23.
Oh, no. I got a 99.
Okay, so you got a 99. It's a critical failure. We'll deal with you in a second.
My head explodes.
What did you get, Beth?
My rating is a 55, and I rolled a 55.
I think that means you passed. The two of you hear this deafening screech. Kamon Juan is going to roll as well, and unfortunately, she does not roll so well. Trudy, if you look over at Kelsey, you see that she has just gone completely catatonic. Like, she's just fallen into a trance-like state. You're just staring straight ahead. Just like nothing
going
on. She's
doing evocative dancing.
She's doing freaky evocative dancing.
Oh my good. Wow. Kelsey, I am so impressed, but I wish you would say something.
Anthony, I feel like Francis gets the door open. You can see into the hallway. You can't see into your room, but you see your mother standing there and she is also in a trance.
Mom! Mom!
Where is the trophy?
The trophy's in my bedroom next to my bed.
Positioned right underneath a picture.
That's what was going to fall in that cup. As all of this is going on, we cut to...
Toni Collette.
What's Toni Collette doing while all of this is going on?
It is Ford Edsel Villager, which was introduced in 1958. It's like a station wagon. It's a big old ugly station wagon. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of driving around. He's got a fat stogie, any type of tobacco he's a fan of. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there, he's got a drink in one hand, stogie in the other.
He lights the stogie by shooting the tip.
Seatbelt. What seatbelts? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, oh, lovely town. Lovely town. What the hell's going on here?
Okay,
there's a commotion.
Yes.
There's a ruckus over here.
You see your two bowling partners, Trudy and Kelsey, standing in front of this house.
Kelsey, a little bit late. A little bit late for bowling.
You're just saying this all out the car while you're driving?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm parked and idling in the powerful American motor. Just rumbling and waking up everyone else down the block. Like my wheels, I rev the engine seductively.
Okay, give me a disadvantaged driving roll.
Disadvantage?
Because you're drunk.
Right.
So...
So?
So.
He knows how to handle it.
I know how to handle my liquor and an American automobile.
Give me a fucking disadvantaged drive auto roll.
I have a drive auto of 40, 56.
Okay, so when you try to rev your engine, you realize your car is not in park, and it careens forward towards the house. Towards Kelsey, who's still standing there catatonically.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful. It comes at me just like a bowling ball.
Dude, it's so tragic, too, because this is how Toni Collette will die, but this will be 50 years later, and this will be a farmer's market.
Wow.
Okay, let's resolve this and then we'll jump upstairs. Trudy, you're the only hope.
It's getting closer and closer. I think I'll move out of the way and I'll take my friend Kelsey with me.
Okay, we'll call that a maneuver, I guess. How big is Kelsey?
She's a pretty beefy lady.
She's a pretty beefy lady.
She's like 7'4". No.
7'4"?
Just my character's getting taller and taller. No, but she's like 5'10". Her favorite food is apple pie.
But you're not moving. You're not doing anything. You're not trying to resist her, obviously, because you're cutting time.
No, I'm cutting time. I'm doing a little dance, though.
Go ahead and give me a strength roll to move Kelsey out of the way.
A strength.
Her weight's in all the right places, though. I just want to clarify. And that is everywhere.
Her massive brain.
Wow, my strength is a 60 and I got a 41. Like a sleeper soldier called into action by a naughty word, Trudy springs into action, spinning around daintily, and with that, whipping Kelsey into a nice hug and then spinning like a tornado out of the path of the moving vehicle.
Great, well done.
I think I just plow straight into the house with this vehicle.
I was going to give you one more roll to try to stop yourself.
No, because I'm confused. Because I slammed on the to rev, and now it's moving, and that's like too much.
He's still calm. He's like, somebody else must have.
Italian must have jimmied this transmission.
Well, so Italian fucked up my car.
Well, so here's a fun detail actually about the Edsel.
So it's the one that looks like a vagina in the front.
Well, no, it's instead of having like
car is that?
Let me investigate.
Hold on, everyone.
I've been buying cars all my life, and I haven't heard of this one. What car is that, Will?
This was the thing. It's got like a little Ford-ussy in the front.
Ford-ussy. What is this car called?
The Ford Edsel. E-D-S-E-L.
What was that, Matt? Go ahead.
Before I saw it, I was going to make a joke and say, Beth, of all of us, you are the expert on vaginas. But before I could even finish that, I saw the car. It's like, yeah, it's a vagina.
Fun thing about the Edsel is that the transmission on these, instead of being like a steering column thing, it's like buttons on the front of the, you know, back before there was airbags. They're like, ah, that's real estate that we could use. So I think part of it is even that, like, because this is
but then men
car.
Could never find the button in the end.
I don't think the button exists.
I'm not sure if the button even exists, to be honest. I think it's a myth. So yeah, so I think it's that he pressed the wrong button on it, right? So he's not used to it because
yeah.
It's a
so
new
yes,
car
your
for
car
it.
Is Korean now. I got to figure out how a fucking car crash works. Okay,
however you want, dog.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
There's rules for it, though. All right, we'll say that Ed opens the door to be like, what in tarnation's going to? Oh, and he sees this car pussy flying towards him.
Entranced by the car ussy.
And because he's never slept with his wife, to him, it just looks like a car.
How does he have a son?
It's under the sheets and the lights are off.
Yes, honey, you did it. This is your baby.
But I didn't see the stork.
We're going to cut dramatically away from that, and we will go back up to the bedroom. You're standing in the door. You've got the door open. Your mom's in front of you. There's a horrible monster somewhere in this darkened room behind you. What do you do?
I'm going to try to push my mom further into the hall and slam the door shut behind me.
And then as you do that, you hear a car crash through the front door of your house.
No, God!
So dad goes, Jesus Christ!
I do like the idea, by the way, that this is the 1950s when things were kind of like built with real timber and real construction. So the car just climbs the stairs. Like it doesn't blow through the stairs like that plywood bullshit that we have today. It just straight up like revs up. It fucking starts climbing the stairs and now all of a sudden on the second floor you have a car.
It climbs up the stairs inside the house.
Hell yeah, dude.
I don't know. Maybe we might have to roll for that. I don't know.
Will, you think they have feng shui back then, dude? That stair was facing straight out the front door.
You have to break through the front door, though.
But no, dad opened it for me.
But your car is wider.
Come on in, car.
Come on in, car. The car is here.
Honey, your ride's here. Yeah. Your car smashes through the front door of this house.
Yeah.
Ed dives out of the way because I don't want to murder Francis's dad in the first episode of the
show. Kill the dad.
Coward.
I want to grind his skull into paste.
We'll give Ed a dexterity roll. That's
there
what we'll
go.
Do. Ed got a 73. Uh-oh. Which is lower than his dexterity of 85.
Ed was a dancer.
Yes, Ed was a ballet man.
Ed was in both wars.
He was in both wars, but is
still... As a ballet man. He's at the USO.
And he does a beautiful pirouette out of the way of this thing and watches in horror.
Him and Bill Hope.
Bob Hope?
Bob Hope. That's what I meant. You're always disappointed when you got Bill Hope instead of Bob Hope. Oh, B. Hope's coming. B. Hope's coming to Guatemala. Hell yeah. Oh, man, it's Bill Hope.
It's Bill Hope and Biff Crosby. He dives out of the way. Are you trying to drive the car up the stairs? Is that what we're trying to do here?
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying that this is American.
You still haven't stopped the car is what you're saying.
Correct. Because this was called the Teletouch automatic steering wheel. Literally, you can finally look up pictures of this. They've decided to put all the buttons on the wheel. And then everyone's like, this was a awful, awful idea.
We're going to go ahead and say that your car crashes and you're going to have to take some damage for that. No. Absolutely.
Seatbelts were optional and you bet your ass Toni Collette didn't opt for seatbelts.
When were seatbelts a thing?
Seatbelts were kind of
like
around.
80s.
Because this is something that would happen with Edsel owners. I go to press the horn in the middle of the steering wheel, but instead I just like hit neutral and reverse at the same time, and you hear a horrible cranking sound from the engine as it loses control and busts through the door.
Truly a death trap of a vehicle, huh?
Oh, yeah. Listen to this. The single circumstance under which a Teletouch could be put into gear with the car moving at greater than 5 miles an hour was if the neutral button was depressed first, thereby removing hydraulic pressure from the inhibitor switch, and then the reverse or park button pushed. These actions would, as a result, either shear off the parking pole or suddenly set the rear wheels turning in the reverse direction.
Your Ford Edsel is going to take 1d10 build damage. So give me a dice roll for your Ford Edsel.
3.
3, not bad.
American engineering, baby.
And then you are going to take...
Not American engineering.
Let's give you the same thing, 1d10. This is a pretty narrow... And you're not wearing a seatbelt, so give me a fucking d10.
10.
Okay.
Do you die?
Wait, are you dead?
How much health do you have?
14.
Oh, my God.
So I blow through the windshield, obviously.
Nothing would be more Freddy than dying in the first episode. This is fine.
I all blow right through the windshield. I go, and now I'm upstairs, dude. Ready to fight.
Okay.
Well, we should just say that it crashes into the front staircase, and then it launches me up to the second
floor.
So, just, what happens when you get 4 out
like
of...
Yeah, you're like Wolverine where he goes...
I mean, he's still got HP, like, so he's got 4.
Yeah,
he's
got 4
hit
points.
Yeah, but you're like pretty fucked up. Just
yeah, 4 hit points.
You right. Rest, long rest, right? That's how it works in this game. You go to hospital. We got a hospital PG.
All right, major wound. Single attack that does more or equal to 50% of max HP. That's target your, falls prone and makes a constitution roll to avoid unconsciousness. So yes, your car careens into the house. You mash the buttons on the front of the Ford Edsel. You smash into the stairs. Your car is basically fine, but you go flying out the window, up the stairs.
This
and
is the most true to the 50s fucking podcast. All right, so I go up the stairs. I've taken 10 damage, which means I need to do a roll here to make sure I stay conscious.
Yeah.
My constitution is 75.
Okay.
I roll a 64, so I do maintain a hold on this reality.
Okay, so that's good because that does give you an opportunity to say something pithy as you collide with Francis, who's just gone out into the hallway.
Francis, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have done this if I had had another drink.
Definition of pithy.
Francis, if you want to give me a dexterity roll to dodge this missile hurtling towards you.
Yes.
Bro, this is the worst, like, post-nut.
I'll never do it again, never. I swear again. My dexterity is 60, I got a 72.
He basically clonks straight into you.
Ooh.
Give me just a 1d4 damage.
Bro, you know what it looks like? It looks like E-Honda in Street Fighter 2 when he does that one.
D4 2.
So you take 2 damage. You're knocked prone as well.
My mom's next to me too. She get fucked up?
No, he hit you and she just watches you go down.
Cool.
You deflected the bullet, so to speak.
You do, and then all of a sudden, the buzzing stops. You regain your sort of composure.
True, did you save me?
I did. I hugged another woman. Oh, I'm going to hell.
My gosh, if you were a man, I would think about kissing you for a while.
What?
Because he saves me.
And so the first ship of the season has begun.
You saved me. Wave from the bank. It's like the scene in Titanic as we all wave as this ship sets sail.
Francis?
You rush inside?
Yeah, I rush inside.
Russians, where?
Upstairs, Francis, your mom is freaking out. She's like, what's going on? Oh my gosh, where am I? What happened?
I get to my feet. I go, I don't know. There's something in my room. They tried to kill me, and I hit it with a really scared mom.
Stand back. And your mother grabs a shotgun and rocks
it. Holy
shit.
Hell yeah, Asian moms.
She kicks the door down and enters like she's doing a breach and clear, and nothing is in there.
The lights are back on. You can see your room. There's clearly something has been in here because you can see like
some porn.
Some porn.
Just open porn magazine.
So yes, for one, the first thing your mother sees.
Yeah, the first
sees
thing she sees. First.
What were you? Was this a theater of the mind? What was going on?
I was thinking it was a theater of the mind.
Okay.
I
don't,
I
don't
think, but I do think the one thing you do see moving in the room in the icy night breeze is the box of Kleenex.
Yes.
Like fucking like flitting about like a flag.
So your mother, Trudy Trout put her husband's snot on me. I'm getting a cold.
Your mom sweeps the room and yeah, you can see something has been ripping things to shreds in here. Your pillow's been torn up and like you see these puncture marks, like almost like from really sharp, big like spider legs or something like that in the carpet.
Man.
There's just a vague odor. You determine what caused the odor. But the one thing you do notice is that the trophy is gone.
My trophy! Oh, how is Carly ever going to remember that I'm cool again?
She doesn't need a trophy, Francis, but the bigger thing is that we need to bring the trophy. Otherwise, BB's been kidnapped.
And
the Italians, we're pretty sure it's the Italians, let's be honest.
Night ties.
They said they're going to kill her if we don't bring the trophy.
If you would like to make a spot hidden roll, anybody who's up here,
sure,
go for it. So you have a majorly wounded fucking comrade who's bleeding on the floor right now. Just
he's a man in the 50s. Get up.
Tony's so silly.
I got a 78 out of my 25 spot hidden, so I failed.
Okay.
I failed spot hidden as well.
Let me do spot hidden. Damn it, I failed.
14 out of 25 in my drunken, bloodied haze. I'm like, what's that over there?
Okay, so as all of you are looking around this destroyed room, the boozed...
The keen insight.
The boozed, bleeding, concussed Tony Collette.
Floor level. He's got his eyes at a different angle than all of us.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe it's because he's on the ground. Yeah. He's able to see up through the window. And as you look up through the window, you see for just a split second, backlit against the light of the moon, a silhouette.
Ugh.
Disappearing rapidly into the night. Something flying, something fast, and something bigger than you've ever seen like that before. It's like a bird. It's like a bug. It's drawn to this glowing light, and it seems to be disappearing rapidly. What do you do?
I point at it, and I go, some sort of creature in the moon. Look, look, everyone, look.
I only listen to my husband, but I'll turn around and, oh, my God.
Oh, geez, what the heck?
That's either a big, huge bat. Or a very small bat, but closer than a big, huge one. You see
what
I mean? As
you look into Relativity. The distance, you see this thing with these huge leathery wings and these dangling claws and this vague, glowing face, and you can't quite make it out. It's so far away, you barely can even realize that it's real. It's the size of a man, but it looks like a moth. It's like some sort of moth
man. Oh my gosh.
In its talons, in its clutches, you see that trophy. Your only hope at saving your friend.
Dungeons and Dice is Matt Arnold as Kelsey Grammer, Anthony Birch as Francis Farnsworth, Will Campos as our DM, Beth May as Trudy Trout, and myself, Freddie Wong, as Tony Collette. Our theme song is Hole in the Stars by Maxon Waller. It's available on his Bandcamp at maxonwaller.bandcamp.com. Brian Fernandez is our content producer. Ashley Nicolette is our community manager. Courtney Terry is our community coordinator. Cindy Denton is our merchandise manager. Esther Ellis is our lead editor. Travis Reeves provides additional editing, and Robin Rapp is our transcriber. Support this show directly at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads, where you join the ranks of folks like Megan McGee, Cleo Klawmincer, Eduardo Jamie, Jared Holt, Holford, Brianne S., Ali Cat, Anna Wood, Jarrett Smith, Kit the Cat Tabar, Isaac Hadwin, Ratter Wolf, Alexandra J., Aaron Rosenberry, Aaron W., Carly Cook, Raphael Dumlau, Max Kozak, Alan Hall, Kelly Paulson, and Tess Fletcher. Welcome to Season 3! Just like in Season 1 and 2, Patreon supporters can get access to our after show for this season, which we're calling The Peach Pit, where we chat behind-the-scenes process, episode insights, and where we answer listener questions. That is just one of a number of ongoing series we have going on the Patreon series, like one where Matt and Beth talk Christian movies that we're calling the Christerion Collection. Support us on Patreon. You get ad-free episodes, Discord access. The pros of being a Patreon supporter just go on and on. Support independent podcasters such as ourselves directly, starting at just $5 a month, and you get instant access to hundreds of hours of additional bonus content. That's all at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. Next month, we're going on tour, part 2 of our U.S. live show tour, where we play the Season 1 dads hitting up cities across the Midwest and the East Coast. It's called the Areas Tour because we're going to a bunch of areas. You can find more info about that on our website. Tickets are still available. And heads up to the West Coast, we've added a tour date on Father's Day, June 16th, back in our hometown of Los Angeles. We're playing the Wiltern, a legend tier venue, so spend Father's Day this year with us. All that info at dungeonsanddaddies.com. Find merch and our social media links there as well. Thank you so much for supporting us. Welcome to Season 3. Our next episode's coming at you May 21st. We'll see you then. Swallowing my dreams and making them scars. Too far away. But I'll stay today.
This is hard, Anthony. Doing two characters talking to each other, this is not so easy. I gotta be honest.
Well, well, well.